I'm Megan Segura.
And I'm Eric J. Mack.
And this is The Daily Dish, Bravo's official podcast.
The Real Housewives of Beverly Hills is back, and this season is about to get loosey-loosey, apple-juicy.
Oh, and we're about to make it even better with BravoTV.com's exclusive after show.
That's Kyle, Teddy, Erica, Dorit, and Sutton breaking down what you did and didn't see from season 10.
New episodes are available every Wednesday night on BravoTV.com and Bravo's YouTube channel. Plus, we'll be bringing them to you every single week as a bonus podcast episode.
This week, the women weigh in even more on Aaron's actions at Kyle's barbecue and Sutton's trunk show, and where things stand with him and Denise today. Let's take a listen.
Kyle, you tried to smooth things out with Aaron and Denise at the trunk show, but it didn't really go so well.
Can I use the bathroom?
Yes, you can. To the left.
Thank you. I will actually wait till Denise comes back, because I felt weird how you guys left my house the other day, and I feel like it's a little weird not to acknowledge it, so, but I don't want to like talk about it when she's not here. So,
right.
Yeah.
When she comes back?
Yeah. No, for sure.
Aaron, you let us have it. You told us that we were bad people and that we should look in the mirror and are we happy with ourselves?
I never said you're bad people.
Basically, Aaron.
Well, it's open to interpretation. I never call people bad people.
Well, I just observe. Talk down.
I purposely waited for Denise to leave so that I could speak to Aaron. That was a conscious choice on my behalf because I wanted to talk to him and not have her in there. What I said was, you know, you don't speak to us like that. You don't need to mansplain for us. You don't need to talk down to us. We get it.
The way you were speaking to us, like you talked down to us and asked us if we were okay with ourselves, if we could look in the mirror and how do we feel. Actually, yes, I am.
Okay, then great. Then you solved that problem.
You know, when it comes to Erica, she's not the one that's going to like be initiating the problem in any time, really. But if somebody's, you know, directing something at her, she's going to step up to it. And I think that's what happened.
I always feel bad when something like this happens. It just feels so unnecessary. But, you know, I don't know. That's the wrong word to use. But
and also it made it tough because the situation changed. Like, at the barbecue at the beginning, it started out with the issue being about it being hypocritical with the kids and whatnot.
Let this f***ing go. It's ridiculous. Let's talk about something else.
I was clarifying because
anybody,
Denise said...
Anybody, do you feel great right now?
But it completely shifted to me and became about Aaron and about the way Aaron spoke to us.
I don't think I have a problem like that.
I didn't ask you if you did.
You kind of insinuated that I just
It's kind of belittling the way that you
it
do
is.
It.
It is. It is.
If that's how you feel.
But you know what you're doing.
You know what you're doing.
Do I?
Yeah,
you do.
Well, spell it out.
He's showing up again, and then he starts getting aggressive again. It just makes the situation worse, whereas we could have maybe just had a peaceful conversation with Denise and worked through the situation. Aaron's there, like, flexing his muscles, like, trying to make us feel, I don't know if he's trying to make us feel timid or nervous or what his intention was, but it was like, now we really can't close things, you know, finish things off with Denise, because now you're here making it about you again.
If I went to your home and I like kicked over a table and whatever,
but we didn't kick over
asked,
a table.
How do you think your tone was the other night?
But we didn't kick over a table.
Why are we nitpicking on people?
If you're going to be the moral high ground everywhere.
Moral high ground, really?
Yeah.
Really, moral high ground. You really want to go there? Seriously, you want to do that?
I remember kind of shrinking down and feeling like that nervous feeling. Like, I haven't had a grown man speak to me this way. I feel very like I've just been scolded like as a child. Like, it was crazy to me.
For me, Aaron's comment kind of came out of nowhere. And it was funny because Aaron was so nice inside the store. And then once he came to the ladies, he just puffed up.
Do you really want to go there? Seriously, you want to do that?
I mean, moral do you want to go there?
Do you?
I'm fine going.
I can go anywhere.
So
I can go up, down, around, and
backwards. Anyway, this isn't probably the place.
I'm done with this conversation.
And I was like, you were just being cool. What happened?
Why do you think the flip switched?
I don't know. Tequila? I don't know. And I understand that he was protecting Denise and felt like that was his place. I don't think he should have gotten involved. I think it was a really bad idea.
But look, I think that support your wife, know that she's intelligent, capable, give her all that great advice and let her go carve her own path. We are outspoken, we are strong of character, we are sensitive, we empathetic at times, angry at times. Look, it runs the whole gamut. And I think that every woman in this group can stand on her own. Like, there's no need to step in. Denise is a grown woman. She's perfectly capable of handling her business, and you don't need to speak to us in a way that, you know, makes us feel like you have all the answers and we have none, and just kind of putting yourself in a position that, you know, you really don't need to be in.
So just going now back to the family barbecue, you ask about Denise's kids and Aaron gets pretty vocal.
When you say I don't feel comfortable bringing my kids around
no,
this group.
No, wait, I'm gonna step here and hear it because it's like ridiculous. I'm sorry, but it's ridiculous. Everyone came over our home, we shared bread with you. All we said, and it's so simple, our kids, they're teenagers. Just please know that they're right there and they can hear you. Know your surroundings, that's it. So what is the issue here? What's the issue?
No, the issue is just...
There is no issue. That's my point. You're making an issue out of nothing, and it's ridiculous.
To me, it just... All of it is so hypocritical. At that dinner where the other women are talking about threesomes...
Teddy's not my type normally.
I've never done a lesbian thing.
I haven't either. Like,
wait, you guys, when the kids are over there. Wait, hold on.
When I was modeling.
You did a lesbian thing?
Oh my God, I wish my kids weren't here.
I was with a couple.
Denise was talking about Aaron as well.
He still has a big penis and big muscles, so it's all good.
So it's not like she wasn't a part of the conversation at all. Like, you guys, she let Eloise sit there and just watch the, like, everybody coming at Kyle and Kyle break down. And I don't want my kids to hear about threesomes, but I also don't want my kids to see me fighting. It was just like, that is messed up. And now you're going to turn it around on everybody else?
This is who I call revved Teddy.
I get revved.
This is revved Teddy. I'm revved.
Because it's like, I remember sitting at the table and doing my best not to judge the situation of what was happening because I was like, this isn't okay. And then to hear in hindsight that she was the one upset about other people's behavior.
Why are you continuing on the same note? It's
even
one note. It's
Denise
one note.
Said,
it's a flute that plays one note.
You know what?
Note.
I don't want to bring my children around this group. It's her right.
Garcelle, like, it feels like a passive-aggressive,
right,
like mom-shaming, like you guys are
what is
mom
it?
Shaming.
Passive-aggressive.
No, because you're saying...
Please define it for me.
What do you want, Aaron?
Give me the passive aggressive.
When you say, I didn't want to bring them around
I didn't
this
say it.
Group, I'm not. You asked me to clarify.
No, but who are you talking about? Preface it.
Denise,
like,
your wife, okay. said, I didn't want to bring my kids around this crowd. It's been duly noted that I shouldn't bring them around here. It's a passive aggressive way of saying, like, you know, I don't trust my kids around you guys.
How is that mom shaming?
I was like, this is beyond to me. Revved.
Have you guys felt that you've ever been mom shamed within this group of women at all?
Yeah, I don't feel like I've ever been mom shamed in this group.
I don't think so. I mean, it's interesting because it's the circumstances are being reversed. What's being said here is being kind of flipped.
What do you mean by that? How did this idea of the mom shaming situation flip?
Well, it's interesting because at Denise's house, when we were all speaking about stuff, which, by the way, I wasn't the only person that was talking about sex.
I've never
either.
Done a lesbian thing.
I haven't either.
I was with a couple.
I had a threesome long time ago.
No girls touched this hoo-hoo, ever.
But you weren't even the one that brought it up.
No, I wasn't, but I was the only one that got taken to, you know, go sit down, so.
My oldest daughter overheard some things.
I'm sure that
yes,
they did.
So she mentioned threesome.
Of course you're going to take the sexually provocative one and go have a talk with her, you know, meaning me.
With the kids next time, I'll move them further. Further, like inside the house.
Well, I apologize. I apologized from the heart. And then all of a sudden, I find out that, oh, instead of it dying there with an authentic apology from me, she, Denise, took it to Teddy and Sutton.
Sammy, she said that they overheard someone fighting about a threesome. I was like, I didn't even know what to say.
Instead of like, hey, the kids heard stuff, whatever, it became, oh, I'm so offended, and now it has a life of its own. So it's like, well, what is your intention? Like, what are you trying to do? Why are you pushing this?
That night, talking about the threesomes, you know, I cannot say this enough. Of course, I would not want that conversation in front of my children. But it just seems like, you know, she wants to say that to project this image. And then she goes and says about the happy endings, you know, that she had sex in Aaron's office.
One time we had sex in one of his rooms.
Oh, that was the treat. Hi.
And we've been inseparable ever since.
And then they're going to the strip club. Like, your kids are seeing that. She wasn't trying to say something to us. She was trying to make us look bad.
So after Aaron and Denise leave the barbecue, Lisa Rinna discovers they're actually going to a strip club to eat a steak.
What we need is like a big steak. That's what I need.
Go have your steak and go to a strip bar.
Okay, great.
Go do that, you guys.
Maybe that was the plan the whole time. Stop by, cuss us out, and then hit the strip club for a steak. I don't know.
We had a better option.
I mean, Good thing they didn't have the kids.
I was a bit floored by that, to be honest. And what made me really a little bit nutty about it is she didn't stay and then we had fun.
The irony of it all, that we're at a kid's barbecue and they're going to a strip joint right now.
Hello in a pool right here, asshole.
I got some money for you. You guys.
Wow. Lisa heard the word stripper and then she decided to role play, I guess. And I was like, I gotta get out of this tent because this is crazy.
Will we ever see you
on a pole? No. No, probably not. I do a lot of fun things. Personally, I love to do karaoke and like, I don't care if I make a fool of myself, it doesn't bother me. But like, I love charades and I'll do anything like that. I don't mind embarrassing myself. But I, you know, for me, the pole, I don't know.
Yeah, I thought if I get on this f***ing pole, I'm going to tear this whole yurt down. But everybody else was on it. Rena was great, you know. Everybody else was having a good time.
And it's those moments, you know, that I know we all very much enjoy, you know, where we could just kind of, we're laughing and it's not so intense and, you know.
So heavy. It's not so heavy, yeah.
Yeah.
We got to see a lot of your dynamic with your sister Kim over the years. This season, we did get to see an amazing relationship between you guys.
You know, I'm going to ask my partner, Dr. Monty, to come in too. Is that all right?
Why did you just invite the whole block?
And we'll have the parking crew. And I know they taught you into much bigger implants than you wanted. I understand that. So we're not going to do that. I'm looking.
If I can bring joy to your heart, a nipple or two.
No, ma'am.
I mean, my relationship with my sister Kim really has been like, you know, over these 10 years that, you know, you guys have been, you know, privy to our relationship, has literally done this for 10 years.
I'm so done with you and your f***ing lies.
I'm sorry you see it that way.
Mine's bigger than yours. Not a chance, baby.
Kathy would not ever act like this. Kim. Kathy would have my back like a real sister.
You do not say.
Do not put your finger in my face.
You're gonna get my
finger in your face too.
Like, being on the show has been like a therapy session, honestly. Like season one, when we had our big blow up.
Mom had to die worrying about you.
Stole my goddamn house! I used to feel like we're a victim to her alcoholism, you know, when she would do things and act out, you know, I felt hurt or I felt, you know, and then, you know, when people got angry with me and I was like, it changed my thinking and opened my eyes. And doing a show like that, you know, you'll learn things about yourself and, you know, grow from them. And for that, I'm very grateful. So we've come a long way and I understand my sister a lot more. I think that she understands me a lot more. But we're at a place like we don't argue. I feel like we've worked through, you know, the majority of our stuff. We haven't seen her since the quarantine though, so. You know, she called me one day and I felt really bad because, you know, I suffer from anxiety for, you know, since all my life, honestly. My first panic attack was when I was 12 years old, but she was having one panic attack and I got on the phone with her and
for the first time ever, I had to talk her through a panic attack. She was kind of freaking out with the whole coronavirus in the beginning and all of this stuff. So I was like, let me help you, you know, through your panic attack. Now I know how to handle this.
Erica, you have a conversation with Lisa about your role in Chicago.
Let's talk about Chicago.
What was the hardest part of the show? Do you remember?
You're going to have a monologue. You are on stage alone.
By yourself.
That was challenging for me. And that is probably my greatest moment. When you talk about fame, you're going to relate to it. Erica, it's what we've all strived to have.
What was it like having her perspective on things?
Having someone who has already done this, gone down this road, I wanted to pick her brain for everything. I needed to know everything. I wanted to know how she felt, what time did she sleep, how long did it take her to recover. She was a wealth of knowledge, and thank God we are close, and I asked her a million f***ing times, and I think she was as excited for me as I was. Like every day she would text me and say, now remember this, and I, you know, make sure you do X. And Roxy does this number, her first number is on the ladder. And you know, you're up there like 12, 13 feet on a ladder and you're singing. And I kept asking her, I would text her from rehearsal. I was like, hey, did you struggle with this? Like, am I feeling the way I'm supposed to be feeling about this? And she was like, yes, absolutely. Keep pressing. Make sure that when you come around on this ladder that your arm is in this certain position. And she was right.
It's funny. We were in Santa Barbara and we were sitting on the dock in that wine tasting. And there were these young boys that were jumping off of this deck. Obviously, all of these things were in Erica's head. And Erica turns around. She says, hey, Lisa, is the ladder that I'm climbing on that high or is it higher? Do you remember
yes,
the
I
deck?
Do.
And Lisa was like, it's higher. And we're all like,
ooh. Yeah, it's higher.
We're like, you have to climb that ladder?
Yeah, it's higher. She's like, Erica, it's higher. To have someone like that close to you who's done it, who can say, this is what you want to look out for. This is what you need to be careful about. Make sure X, Y, and Z. And she was right, 100%. It's priceless knowledge, priceless knowledge. 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
And remember, watching Bravo isn't a guilty pleasure.
It's self-care.
Guys, let's keep the conversation going. We want to talk to you all week long. You can find us on Instagram at Bravo Daily Dish.
And on Twitter at Bravo TV. Just don't forget to use the hashtag Bravo Daily Dish.
Or reach out to us personally. I'm everywhere at Meg Segura.
And I'm everywhere at Eric J. Mack. That's E-R-I-K.
And if you're on Facebook, join the Daily Dish Facebook group.
You can post about what you're watching, your favorite shows, who's your favorite housewife, ask a question, start some drama. There's a lot of good stuff in there, so check it out.
You can also learn more about the podcast at bravotv.com.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
Looking fine, and I got my girls with me. With the boys at the table getting tipsy, miss me, kiss.